Welcome to the Pilgrim's Odyssey, your guide to life's wild ride. I'm your host, Silwan Green. Every day we share incredible stories and valuable lessons on life and faith. Thanks for tuning in and make sure to share this odyssey with your friends and neighbors so all of us together can let our light shine. Welcome, friends, to another episode of the Pilgrim's Odyssey. I'm your host, Silwan. It is awesome to be with you today after a long weekend for all of us. As I was drinking my morning coffee, looking over the news, I came across an article that another, because it seems like it's been like the cool thing to do lately, another Christian singer had come out that they were now an atheist. His name was John Steingard. As they said in the news, the front man of the band, Hawk Nelson. And I read that, and it got me thinking about a lot of things. Why somebody does that? Why do you believe in God? How do I believe in God? A couple of things that came to mind. I used to spend quite a bit of time in Nashville recording, and I was in a studio once, and well-known recording studio down there. Many, many, many big acts had been through there, and I was talking to the engineer. Great guy. He's won Grammy Awards. He's recorded all kinds of different bands. And I was talking one day, and I was asking him, you know, because some big country band had just been in there. I go, man, were those guys crazy? Were they rocking and rolling, you know, thinking the rock and roll lifestyle? And he said, no, man, they were all business. All business. We got talking some more, and he said, actually, the people that have been the craziest in here are these Christian bands. I go, what? He goes, yeah, I don't know what it is. He goes, we'll get these Christian bands in here, and it's like they're out of the light, and it's like they're at a playground, and they just go crazy. And I got thinking about it for a while. You know, and of course, you don't want to paint too broad a brush. You don't want to say that's who they are. But started kind of making sense to me as I was down there more, and I got to know some of these Christian bands, because a lot of them were people that really weren't Christian. They had been secular artists, and they couldn't make it in the secular game, and they thought it might be easier to make it in the Christian game, and so that's what they did. And then some of them were Christians, but they were kind of that poppy Christian. You know what I mean? That kind of person that's like, yeah, I'm going to look like everybody else, and the thing that's going to make me different is I believe in Jesus, and when I die, I'm going to go to heaven, but otherwise I look just like you, and I'm cool, and blah, 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 blah. And when you're that way, you're kind of setting yourself up. And I got thinking, you know, how does somebody believe that? What is someone's vision of God when they're that way? And I got thinking about it, and it seemed to me that it was almost like this make-believe vision of God, that like God is this person up there all jolly with a white beard, and he just wants you to be happy and full of life and excited and good-looking and to have a clear complexion and be able to rock out. Now, of course, I never have seen God that way. But the problem with that is one, when maybe your life doesn't turn out that way, you wonder, where's God? And you stop believing in him. And then another thing is, you see other people who have clear complexions, and they're funny, and they're successful, and they don't believe in God. You start going, what do I need God for? And then when this God you believe, when it was all cool, starts demanding things of you you don't like, other people complain about the beliefs you have, and it makes you feel uncomfortable, and you're not so shiny and happy, then you start going, well, what's that God really like? And because your idea of God was make-believe to begin with, all of a sudden, when that gets chipped away, what are you left with? Now, not all Christian artists are that way, by any means. I know very, very many devout, genuine. But those are some thoughts I had when I read about this John Steingard fella. Then I thought back to years ago, when I was about his age, probably younger. I was searching for meaning. I was wondering what I believed about God. I was at a phase where I was still kind of searching, but I was still kind of sure I believed in God. And as I like to do then, I was on a trip. I was on a train. And this particular time, I was literally on a train to nowhere. I think it was Idaho or someplace I wanted to go I hadn't been. And so I'm on this train. I'm just traveling. I love meeting people. I love talking to people. So I'm on this train to nowhere, in my case, and sort of heading towards Idaho. But I think this particular trip, I didn't quite make it there. I just got off someplace and then made my way back. But I'm on that train, and I'm in the observation car. And, you know, at the time, I'm a single young man, and I see this pretty girl. And she's sitting there reading. Looks like she's not traveling with anybody. It's a train trip, so you got plenty of opportunity to wait for your opportunity. And when I'm able to, I start a conversation with her. Very smart girl, very interesting. She was from New York. She was one of those dancer, artist, who knows what I'm going to do next kind of people. And she was heading to California to see a friend for some adventure. Well, we kind of hit it off talking, because at the time I was doing a lot of writing and working on music, and, you know, I was learning to play the guitar and was writing a lot of poetry and those types of things. So to that New York girl, I probably, you know, seemed interesting. And we got talking, and, you know, as happens on a train like that, when you're talking about everything in the world and you're in the observation car and you're seeing buffalo and deer and elk and the wild and the heavens and the skies, you start talking about God. And at that point, you know, we'd probably been talking for a few hours. It became apparent very quickly that not only did she not believe in God, she was what you would probably call a militant atheist, meaning not militant like she's going to go kill somebody, but militant in the sense if she thought you believed in God, you were nuts. That the idea of God was so crazy to her, you had to be crazy to believe in it. And not only that, she had obviously suffered harm from people who said they were Christians or maybe were Christians before in her life. And so she painted all that in there. And so at the end of the day, her portrait of a Christian was something and someone that needed to go away. Now, the funny part about the conversation, she brought this up and went on and on and on and on and on how she was an atheist and why she didn't believe. And, you know, she had some very logical, good reasons for it. And I just listened. And then at the point when it was appropriate for me to chime in and it was obvious that I believed in God, the cognitive dissonance in her head was kind of funny. Because on the one hand, she's going, you know, Christians are idiots. And on the other hand, she was going, man, I kind of like this guy and he's kind of smart and interesting and he's a Christian. Kind of thing. So I'll give her credit. She was willing to listen, and she asked me, she said, how can you believe in God? And she was ready for me to give her the whole old man up in the sky with a white beard who's going to make my life happy because I'm a Christian and give me all these things and blah, blah, blah. Like I mentioned earlier, that some of these partying Christian bands go to Nashville thinking, you know, I believe in Jesus and I'm going to look like one of the Jonas Brothers and girls are going to love me for my purity. You know, she was expecting something like that. But that's not what I told her. And what I told her then is still what I believe now. I looked at her and I said to her, I said, you know what? You got some good points in why you don't believe. And, you know, Lord knows in my life, there's been times I didn't believe in God. I wondered where God was. The world didn't look like the world I would create if I was God. But I said to her, you know, at the end of the day, you know why I believe in God? Because I'm bad. She seen the look on her face. I said, I'm bad. It's like, what do you mean by that? I go, I do things I know are wrong. I do things I don't want to do. I get angry when I shouldn't get angry. I don't want to be that way. Nothing I've tried works. The only thing that works is when I feel the presence of God, which I can't explain to you. I can't convince you of, but I felt it. And when I feel that, and I read the Bible, and I understand what it means to be a Christian, I believe that not only can I be saved, but more importantly, because that ain't gonna happen until I die, and I'm not even thinking about that right now, I can be good now. I can begin to be good. I can begin to be a different person. And when I read the Bible, that's what I see. I don't see this person in the clouds with the white beard that's going to make me, you know, all happy and good looking and blah, 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 blah. What I see is someone that recognizes I'm bad and I need help. And that's okay, because we're all bad. You know, and I think what was interesting to her, you know, in explaining that to her, I didn't get there from, you know, reading some Bible verse and then slapping it over my head. I got there in desperation, wondering, why can't I change my ways? Why am I bad? Why do I do these things? And then when I read the Bible, it affirmed what I already knew. You know, God is in our hearts. God is in our souls. It is imprinted upon us. We can find God without the Bible. 100%. If you don't understand that, you might want to go back and read your Bible. You know, and what I found out later, it is biblical. I mean, look at Psalm 14. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. And then in Romans, famous verse, probably everybody listening has heard it. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, and we tend to think of sin like it's this curse from Adam, which it might be. But then the problem is people start going, but am I going to be punished because of what Adam did? And see, when you do that, you've just missed the point. See, you want someone to look in the mirror and go, are you good? Are you ever lazy? Do you ever get angry when you shouldn't? Do you ever eat things that aren't healthy that are going to hurt you and you don't know why you do it, but you do it anyway? Do you have any habits or addictions you wish you could stop, but you don't? Do you always love people unconditionally? Do you always love people unselfishly? See, because if you don't do those things, what's wrong with you? And not only that, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to heal? See, that's what you need to ask people. See, because when I talked to that girl, and I wasn't saying to her, you need saved, you're going to hell. When I wasn't saying to her, oh, Adam sinned and now you're punished. See, when I didn't say any of that. What I said to her is, I'm bad. And I could see in her face that she knew the part of her was bad too, because we all are. We all got something. We all got a thorn in our side. And when you're real, and see, I think the Bible is real. I think we put this veneer on top of it that makes it unreal. Again, like a, you know, a Christian band trying to be cool, you know, be like Green Day, but Christian. What is that? Okay, be real. And I think it was also an important lesson to me, not only how to explain my faith to somebody, how to look at my own faith, but I think it was an example that if we want to reach our culture, how we need to be. You know, if you read James, I love the book of James. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. See, if you really believe that we all are kind of bad and got bad things in us, and to be happy, we need to heal from it, and God can do that. You don't need to beat somebody over the head. You don't need to tell them how they're going to hell. They know that. What you need to show them is another way. What you need to say to them is what I said to her. Listen, this is a way and a belief that I'm able to overcome those bad things. And they're always there. And sometimes they rear their ugly head. But my faith and my hope is that every day I draw closer to God, I draw closer to being able to become and be something different. And see, who doesn't want that? Now, did she necessarily believe in God? Not on that train. But did she listen to a Christian talking to her about what he believed for 4, 5, 6 hours? Yes. Did she hear things she hadn't heard before? Yes. Did she have a Bible thumped over her head? No. You know, maybe John Steingart has never heard that. Maybe he has. I don't know. I don't know him. I'm just using him as an example. We're all bad. It's okay to say that. It's okay to be honest. What I would ask you to do today is, here's a challenge. I love doing this, as you know, but this is a hard one. Think of somebody that you know who does not believe in God, and then just listen to them and see what you'll learn. See what their impression of faith is. See what it says about your faith. Don't try to convert them. Don't try to change their mind. Just listen. And if they ask why, just say, because you want to learn. When's the last time you did that, by the way? You know, when is the last time that somebody who is hurting, just like you are, somebody that had things inside them that want to change, just like you do, and they believe differently, you just listen to them. That's where our faith is put in the fire. and sharpened, makes us stronger. It also connects us with the people that God wants us to connect to. And how do we do it? Being swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I think for the first 2 hours I was on the train ride with that girl, I just listened to her. That's all I did. Drew us together. Ended up making a new friend. Also, it made me feel better about my own faith because I realized that it wasn't based on smoke and mirrors. It was based on something I truly believed and that I had seen and that I had felt. Till next time, my friends, I want you to aim high, spread your wings, and keep your eyes on the things that matter. And when world around you is going crazy, when things aren't quite the way you want them to be, when you question where is God, just remember, that is the message of the Bible. That is why he came in the first place. We are broken. Whatever you want to call it. We do bad things. He is hope. We can overcome that and have the peace to listen to people and to have the hope that all of us can be transformed. That's the message I would want John Steingard to know and anybody to know, having these deep, honest questions of faith. Listen, my friends. Love with your silence, and God will tell you what to say. I promise. So until next time, I'm your host, Silouan. Peace. You've been listening to The Pilgrim's Odyssey. Make sure you comment, share, and like this podcast so all of us together can let our light shine. For books, videos, and more content from me, your host, please visit Silouan.com. That is Silouan, Silouan.com. Until your next visit on the Pilgrim's Odyssey, I'm your guide on life's wild ride, Silouan Green.